peanut butter, the universal food. My goodness sakes, who would ever think of peanut butter being the universal food? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Peanut butter, the universal food. Every one of us have been brought up on certain foods that were consistent to our youth. And as we were brought up on these foods that were consistent to our youth, we remember them with great love and great appreciation. Now, they may not have been the best foods in the world. They may not have been that which is for our highest and best, but they were what we were brought up on. They were who we were. Who were you? Were you brought up on peanut butter and jelly? Were you brought up on that basic food? Well, in America, most youngsters are brought up on the universal food of peanut butter and jelly, or peanut butter and honey. Peanut butter is, peanuts are certainly a very noble food, and scientists are finding out more and more that they are a very satisfactory food, a very complete food. And with this peanut butter, mankind has come out of their childhood into their adulthood. And as people oftentimes say, I'm a peanut butter and jelly man myself. That's what I like, and that's what I love, and that's what I am. I really enjoy that. Well, now, why do people love peanut butter and jelly, or peanut butter? Well, it just has a very good flavor, it has a very good taste, and it has a very satisfying attitude about it. When you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you are satisfied. Some people say, well, you need to have something more charming, something more wonderful. You need to have candy, or you need to have something like a more definite food, like a steak or meat and potatoes or that sort of thing. But when you get right down to it, the peanut butter and honey or peanut butter and jelly just take the edge off of everything. And you could probably go through life eating it. Now, in some foreign countries, beans or rice or cabbage, each are the commodity that they're brought up with. Each are how they are raised. And when the children go as adults to other countries and they have the opportunity to have other foods, if they can have this food, which they were raised with, they are just as happy as can be. The national foods of different countries are not really what the adults would like to have us believe. But they're what children have us believe, because that's what we were raised with in the house. We were taught that peanut butter and jelly or peanut butter is just plain good for you. It's just plain wonderful. I've had some Swiss German people here on campus, and these Swiss German people were not peanut butter people. They did not know about peanut butter and jelly. They did not know about popcorn. And they did not know about a lot of American traditions, things that we were growing up with. And little by little, they had a chance to taste the peanut butter. Little by little, they had a chance to taste various things that were natural to the American diet. And as they did that, they didn't immediately take a hold to it. Just like perhaps children might not immediately take a hold to certain foods. But after a while, you train yourself on them, you learn to use them, you learn to accept them as part of your basic diet, your basic fare. And as you do that, then you become accustomed, and in that accustomization, you become sort of habituated to it, and then pretty soon you say, I like it very much. I like it. I would like to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, you go into a restaurant today, and you say, I'd like peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And they say, sure, no problem. they say it's an inexpensive sandwich. It's not like the meats cost or the cheeses cost or the other things cost, but it's an inexpensive and a very adequate sandwich. You go into many countries in the world, and they have rice as their basic commodity. That's what they eat. That's what gives them their strength and their fortitude. That's what gives them the beingness that they are. And as these countries eat rice or beans or whatever the commodity is, they become habituated to it, and pretty soon it is something that is just natural for them to eat. I know for myself, whenever I go to the kitchen, if there's nothing much around, there's always a jar of peanut butter there, and there's always a jar of honey or a jar of jelly. And it's not a matter of slobbering the jelly all over the bread, but it's just a matter of a gentle touch of the jelly to give it the flavor. And maybe a little peanut butter, maybe a lot. But actually, if you just put a little skim of peanut butter across the bread and just a little bit of jelly, it's fantastic. And if you put a lot of peanut butter, it's a little gooey and it's a little much, and you sometimes are overwhelmed by it, and you sometimes have more than you want. But just a little skim, a little bit. Now, we become habituated to things in our life without our realizing it. We become in a habit of doing things in a certain way because that's just the way it's done. That's just what was available. That was always available in our house. There's always peanut butter. There's always jelly. There's always honey. There's always these things, and there's always some bread around. And sometimes even the bread was stale or old, and the bread man hadn't come yet, or mother hadn't baked any bread. And we'd take that stale bread and put the peanut butter and jelly on it, and it became a taste treat. We have the opportunity to make a taste treat out of life. We have the opportunity to take the simplest of fare and make it the king's table. And why do we do that? We do that because it is where our feeling of satisfaction comes from. It's where our feeling of goodness comes from. It's where our feeling of memory of our childhood comes from. And basically, most people, regardless of what kind of childhood they have had, remember their childhood with great joy and great love. They remember their childhood as a family, that the family is together, the family is doing things together, the family is a unit that you could depend on. And when you come home after school, there is mother, or there is the family, or there is the rest of the kids. Or at least there is the house. If everybody is off working, there is the house. The house becomes the family. Or, even more tightly knit, your room. That place where your bed is, or where you sleep, or where you keep yourself. That becomes your family. That becomes your base. That becomes the memory. And as you live in this memory, as you live in family, as you live in home, I remember when we were kids, it was Depression time back in Wauwatosa in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, and it was not too much abundance of everything, but we always had peanut butter and jelly in the house and bread, and white bread that scientists today tell us is not very good for us. But that's what we had. And we grew up on that. And we grew up to be healthy kids on that. And this is something that we sometimes forget. What are the simple things that made life so much a treasure as we were children? What are the simple things that made life so much a treasure when we were a family? What were the simple things that made life so much a treasure when we had our own room, or we had our own bed, we had our own place? Maybe you had to sleep several in the bed, but you had your place in that bed. It was your place on the right or the left or the middle or the whatever. Whatever was your place. And you remember those things with fondness, not with anger, with unhappiness, which you may have had at the time, because I want this, and I want that, and I want the other thing, you constantly say as a child. And then when mother comes along and gives you some peanut butter, everything is okay. Even a spoon of peanut butter, which you don't eat like a chug-a-lug, you just sort of lick on that spoon. And you take that spoon like a candy, like a sucker, like a day sucker, and you put that in your mouth gently, and you just sort of looch on it, and you think it's so good. Peanut butter has become such a universal food because it is a good food and because it is a universal food, but more so because it is available. You wonder, how could peanuts become so popular? Well, peanuts are nuts that can be found easily. They are nuts that can be raised easily. They are nuts that can be stored easily. They are nuts that don't usually become rancid. They don't usually become stale. They can become stale when the atmosphere is not pure and perfect around it, when the atmosphere is not dry and moderate. And sometimes too much moisture makes the peanuts stale, and sometimes everything can be brought back into balance when the harmony of the life and the world is brought back to balance. We all have these happy memories. We all have these happy thoughts. And no matter what country we come from, no matter what culture we are raised in, we all have our peanut butter. We may call it rice, we may call it cabbage, we may call it anything under the sun. But we all have that basic food that we use. And the basic food is not so much a universal food because it is a universal food, which it is. It's a universal food because we have put our thought on it as the ideal food. We have been raised with it as children, and so therefore we feel that it is good. Our mothers gave it to us, so therefore it must be good. In any country, whatever is the majority food, the basic food, the parents give to the children, and the children believe that that must be the basic food. But why do they believe that? Why do they believe it? Because that food represents family. That food represents togetherness. That food represents a happy home. That food represents satisfied body. You're no longer hungry after you had your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I remember I would go to school as a youngster in elementary school, and we didn't buy paper bags, and there weren't a lot of paper bags that we had. So we used newspapers to wrap up our lunch. And mother would make us a couple of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and she'd put some fruit in there, and she'd put whatever she could into the lunch for each one of us kids. And then she'd make it over into such a nice package. It was sort of like a little box she made it, the newspaper, and it made it into a box that was sort of something we would carry. And I forget now what we had around the outside of it, which held it together, but we must have had a string, probably, that held it together. And we went to school. And when we got to school, the rich kids, they had paper bags. And everybody else had bags that were made of newspapers. And so we sat there, we unfolded our newspaper, that became our little table, and we ate from that. And we would share with the other members of the class. Some didn't like the peanut butter. They had enough of it. They wanted to have a different sandwich that you had. You had cheese. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I'll share it with you. Oh, I'm sick of cheese, the other child says. But you see, it's all part of what we are accustomed to. All part of what we are growing up with. You too, whoever you may be, listening to this talk, you have been growing up with different things in your family. But what made the peanut butter so satisfying, so fulfilling, so rewarding, and even today, when you can buy whatever you choose. What is it that makes the peanut butter the most marvelous thing to always have on the table? The memory that goes with it. The memories that go with the peanut butter that make it something in our heart, in our soul, in our being that says, this is home. This is mother. This is father. This is family. This is togetherness. This is happy memories of growing up times. Happy memories of having a close-knit family where everybody in the family always came home and always wanted to be there at mealtimes and always wanted to be there at times to sit in the evening and listen to the radio. Always wanted to be there at times of being together, of being a family. What makes peanut butter so precious is that it's a family food. It speaks to us in memory, it speaks to us in present tense of being something that holds together the family. Now you say, who would ever think that peanut butter would be something that would hold the family together? Well, not very many people, and yet everybody. And if it's not peanut butter, it perhaps has a different name, as we said. But what peanut butter is in the culture that I live in the culture that I grew up in, was something very, very special. Oh, we would have friends who their parents were very wealthy, and so they had very special foods. They had special things. And yet, when we would go and visit them at their house and we wanted to go get a snack, we could go in the refrigerator and we could get candy or ice cream or we could get virtually anything we wanted. But what satisfied us most, wherever we were, and even these rich children who had everything, what satisfied them most was the delicious, succulent peanut butter and jelly sandwich that just satisfied them to their heart's delight. And to this day, it does that. I know as I shared popcorn with many people who had not known of popcorn around the world, even in this 20th century, and you'd think surely everybody knows popcorn. And perhaps they do know of it, but they don't have it because they have no occasion to buy it. And when I would share this with them, or a hot fudge sundae, or things that were natural to our American culture, they would say, oh, I don't think that's so good. I'd rather have, and then they'd tell me their cultural hot fudge sundae, which was not hot fudge, and which was just chocolate. And they would sometimes melt the chocolate. And they'd try to make the hot fudge sundae just for me. But they couldn't do it because they didn't have the attitude ingredients that went into it. The attitude ingredients that are in peanut butter are so warm, so gentle, so fabulous, so wonderful, that what they do is to make everyone feel that life is a grand and a wonderful place. Life is a grand and a wonderful experience. That life is made up of memories. Life is made up of memories that we live in the now. We live the memories in the now of our childhood. We live the memories of the now in everything that we do because everything we do is an implantation from our childhood into today. It's an implantation of some attitude, some thought, some expression, some activity that we carry over into our hearts and soul and being today. What do you think of when you think of the ideal home? You think of living room or family room, and the family room has tried to take over the living room, but the family room will never take over the living room because the living room was where everyone went and tried to keep it as beautiful and clean as possible. Everybody always kept the living room of all the rooms in the house the neatest and the cleanest. And when you would eat a sandwich in the living room, you would pick up your crumbs. You'd make sure that you didn't leave any crumbs in the living room, because the living room was part of the cultural living area of family. It spoke of family. It spoke of peace. It spoke of where the family would hold their meetings and where the family would get together. They wouldn't say hold their meetings. They just say, I want to talk to you. Come on, let's go in the living room. I want to share something. The dining room or the kitchen table was thought to be the place where this was done. But all the really serious, all the really positive, dynamic activity that takes place in the living room. Because the living room is where everyone respects the room and everyone respects each other. In the kitchen, you're vying for the food, you're vying for attention, you're vying for all the things that the kitchen bespeaks. In the dining room, you're doing a similar type thing, but on a little upgraded area. And no matter where you are, and when it comes to the family room becomes a very slovenly place. It becomes a place where anything goes, where if you drop crumbs, you don't worry about picking them up. Oh, maybe at cleanup time, or if the room really gets bad and you want to sweep it up or something. But you don't have to worry about the family room. That's the roughing it room. That's the play room. That's the room where virtually anything goes. Our life is filled with memories, and it's filled with experiences, and it's filled with attitudes, and it's filled with all of the things that make up where our values are and where we are. Now, the peanut butter does not belong in the living room. The peanut butter belongs at the kitchen table. But sometimes you take your peanut butter sandwich and you go in and you watch a television show, or you listen to the radio, or you sneak up behind the family while they're having a big knockdown discussion and you don't want to get involved. And so you sit in the back, but you eat your peanut butter sandwich and you're content. Everything seems to be A-OK when we have our peanut butter and jelly sandwich. All the world seems to be in harmony, at peace. Children who may have nothing at all, and when they have their peanut butter sandwich, they have everything. A peanut butter sandwich is like mother's hug. It's like dad's confident handshake. It's like the caring of a family, one for the other. A peanut butter sandwich is like a sister giving her cherished pencil to her brother when he needed a pencil. And he said, you're giving me your pencil? Thank you. And she says, well, you need it. Well, thank you. Oh, that's like a peanut butter sandwich. It tastes so good. Yes, a peanut butter sandwich is the memory sandwich that says to us, all is right with the world, all is peace, all is harmony. A peanut butter sandwich is a universal food. It's a food that makes all of us feel that we are something really special. We are something really fantastic. And because it is so unique and so wonderful and so special, we wonder how we ever got away from not eating more peanut butter sandwiches. The day will come and we'll eat more peanut butter sandwiches. The day will come and we'll enjoy them. And that day could be right now. It's up to you what you choose. Now, what do you choose? What do you choose for yourself? Who are you? Where are you? Why are you where you are? You're there because you are in charge. You are in charge of your life now and forevermore. With me, grab a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and sit down and remember all the happiness that life brought to you and brings to you still today. Because that's who you and I are. I love you. I love you. I love you.